batteries and power. Provides the speed.
Now, everything old is new again. America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
I felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
Come on, bark like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Well, I'm in this dark tunnel, and there are other people in there with me, but I can't really see their faces.
Is there a bright, beautiful light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes.
And the people, they seem like they're helping you, Todd.
Uh-huh.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with the ever broad-minded David Cohen today.
And why am I broad-minded, Doug?
Well, because we're going to widen our horizons here a little bit from talking about pop culture and talk about something that has been to the core of, I guess, the human culture since even like way back to the cave drawings, the great pyramids of ancient Egyptians. There were always, you know, those pyramids were methods of securing life after death for the pharaohs, the advent of Christianity, the building of great churches and art in the Renaissance, through all civilizations up to the modern day culture. What am I getting at?
I don't know.
We have a guest today that is going to provide us with an insight into the hereafter and how that affects and speaks to us today in our relation to how we live our lives today. And his name is George Anderson. And in fact, David, I think you have a nice little one, so we can give the audience a catch-up as to who this gentleman is.
Sure. Well, George Anderson is the first medium in history to appear regularly on a cable TV show, the first medium to gain international exposure for his extraordinary ability, and the only medium to be cleared by network television standards and practices to appear in the first-ever primetime special on Contact, Talking to the Dead. He's the only living medium to have been invited to Holland by surviving members of the family of Anne Frank, and he remains the most scientifically tested medium on Earth. They scientifically test these people, Doug. George has been featured in newspapers and on TV, and is the New York Times bestselling author of George Anderson's Lessons from the Light and the national bestseller Walking in the Gardens of Souls. Welcome, George.
Thank you.
It's great to have you, George, and I have to say that I go back to 1978-79 when I was in high school. We all were a little bit younger. We live on Long Island, and I know you lived at the time on Long Island, and I had heard you on a show at night with a host by the name of Joel Martin, and yeah. It just goes full circle. It's amazing that all this time later we're having you on the show, because I was so interested back then. I visited with you a number of times, and then I saw you in 2001 in New York City at an event and had a book signing and so forth. So I've been kind of stalking you through the years. So this is the result of all this 30-plus years of stalking. So it's great to have you on board.
Oh, thank you kindly.
Maybe you could describe for us basically what you do. We get the ball rolling with that.
What the ability is really so far, you know, because I'm always open to other possibilities, is the ability to discern people, or the consciousness, I should say, of someone who's passed on. There's been, you know, different theories thrown out over the years. You know, you have, which I am too, you have, you know, the individuals who are skeptics. But as I always ask, are you a skeptic or are you a cynic? You know, a cynic just throws out the baby with the bathwater, has made up their mind in advance, and that's okay. And, you know, some other people in the scientific field have suggested, you know, maybe I'm using 10% more of my brain than the average person. And then, of course, there's people who really don't know what to make of it. So, until further notice, such as myself, I have to assume that it's the possibility that it is feeling, or so to speak, communicating with the consciousness of someone who's passed on.
And generally speaking, just to get an idea, why would they wish to do this?
I think I would feel it's basically for comforting purposes, giving hope, reassurance. You know, to really back up people's belief system that after passing we do go on. As a matter of fact, just prior to the show, I was talking to a friend of mine asking him if he had seen this picture on AOL a few days ago where some young man was killed in a motorcycle accident.
I saw that.
Somebody took a picture of the scene, and it looked kind of freaky because you could actually, so to speak, see his spirit, I guess, withdrawing from his physical body.
Wow, sort of like representing that movie Ghost, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, they said that they rushed him to the hospital, and he passed on in the hospital, but you know, you have to realize, too, the human body is alive until it officially is dead. But what exists inside that physical body is obviously the consciousness, I would say, for some people, the soul that, you know, moves on to a non-physical place and goes on.
Well, through this experience, have you had an inclination, you've been doing this for so many years, as to, maybe you get little pieces of evidence here and there, as to why we're here on Earth as opposed to just always being in the hereafter? What's kind of the purpose of being here? Can you discern that in any way from your experience?
Yes. As a matter of fact, as I'm sure you know, I was brought up in a very strict Roman Catholic household. And I remember when we had gone to church, if it was, you know, a hot Sunday or something before air conditioning, and I said, oh, you know, it's so uncomfortable. And my mother always used to tell my brother and I to offer it up for the souls in purgatory. And then one time, I jokingly said that to somebody. And one of the voices from the hereafter said, if you're offering it up for the souls in purgatory, then you're offering it up for yourself and the people here on Earth. This is the proving ground. We're the heroes and heroines that we come into this dimension to face and experience, you know, trials, tribulations, growth. It is definitely a proving ground, a place where you can progress and grow spiritually. You can do the same thing over there, but it's just that here it's much more challenging because we're subjected, you know, to so many negativities too.
And so here is a method or a way to for help us to overcome, I guess, our faults or learn of what our faults are and maybe achieve some success over managing them here to perfect or become a little more of a better soul or person here and then present ourselves thereafter?
Yeah, our ultimate goal is perfection, to be, so to speak, reunited, what I call the divine presence. Some people say God, you know, whatever. We have our own choice of words. But the one thing I have found out over the many years is that those in the hereafter will tell people, they may bring up an incident they had in their life or so forth, tell people there's no such thing as failure. They say change the word to experience. Failure is actually an illusion. It doesn't exist. And
I'm sorry, Jordan.
Whatever you had gone through, you thought you failed, you actually experienced and grew from that.
Interesting. We'll be right back on Everything Old is New Again with George Anderson.
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
I want to tell you my secret now.
Now, welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with David Cohen. We're having a terrific time with George Anderson. His latest book is Life Between Heaven and Earth. You can get that on Amazon for sure. Just put up the name George Anderson. You'll see a couple other books as well. Lessons from the Light, We Are Not Forgotten. And it's just interesting, wonderful reads of these books of walking in the Garden of Souls. And in essence, George, with these books, it seems that what you're doing is presenting us, there are some specific readings you'll see in these books, but generally speaking, you're trying to, it seems like, present to us an idea, an overall lesson. Obviously, there's the title of one of the books, Lessons of the Light, but why we're here, why souls are communicating, and what it's like to be on the other side. Now, we played a little piece there from Sixth Sense and Signs. Sixth Sense, more specifically, I want to know, does that speak to you in any way, that movie? Did you see that? Did it have any resonance with you and what you do?
Well, you know, when I did see it, it was very interesting. And basically, the one scene where the little boy is conveying a message to his mom from her dad, I believe. And yes, that can be what it is. It's not somebody coming for a session, you know, here, you know, on August 10th, you're going to get married and meet the man of your dreams or anything like that. I mean, this can come up. But there seems to be more of a tremendous purpose behind it all to help people to understand. I had a lady a few weeks ago. The best way I can describe it is this cute little old lady. And her husband came through. He had passed on. And before I said anything further to her beyond that, he insisted that I tell her on his behalf that he always loved her and still does. And of course, my cynicism can get in the way and my skepticism. I said, oh, that's so anybody, you know, so general. Anybody could say that. And he got a little, like, Compton attitude with me from over there. He said, well, this doesn't really have anything to do with you. You know, you're just the instrument conveying.
Right.
And, you know, he was a little firm with me and he said, just say that. So, yes, I said, finally came out and I said it, and I said to the woman, there's obviously purpose behind it that has depth, because he's not just saying it because, you know, every wife wants to hear that. But as he did go deeper into his relationship with her, actually made my blood run cold, because he had been dreadfully, dreadfully abusive to her. To the point where he admitted from over there that if he had ever gotten his hands around her throat, he probably would have killed her. And I was, whoa, taken aback. So then I knew the depth of what I thought was a very vague or general message meant. And, you know, she told me, oh, yeah, he was something else. And because also when he was coming through from the hereafter, he did seem at one point a little embarrassed, you know, to go into the depth. And somebody over there had said to him, you better speak now, forever hold your peace, because you may not ever get the chance again. So no doubt it was a healing experience for him over there, as well as certainly a healing experience for her here.
So he was able to, or both of them were able to come full circle some kind of ending to that, so that everyone can sleep at night, so to speak.
He was given, you know, the opportunity. He was given the grace to redeem himself. But nobody forces you over there any more than they do here. It's all up to you. You take it, wonderful. You don't, that's tough.
Right. Now, talking about that over there and the way things work versus here, the question is, on this sphere, there's always this question of fate versus free will. And I've seen in your books, and you mentioned before, that there are everything, you know, you do say everything is for a reason, that we're destined to do X, Y, and Z, even though it might not be seen while we're on the journey here, there's a reason for whatever is happening. Is that what you see, the outcome of our life is already written, or do we have free will, or a combination of the two?
I think, and maybe a little bit of a combination, I think that we, for us, I think in many ways the stage is set and we just fulfill the role. But I do think at times individuals can get knocked off the track, so to speak. And one of, and again, I'm not trying to make this sound from a religious point of view, but one of the great things that St. Teresa, the little flower, believed in was she felt everything was a grace. And I, you know, never really understood that until the individuals in the hereafter spoke to me about the Chinese, the yin and the yang, the negative and the positive. You have to experience both here. You have to have a balance of both in order to become well-rounded in progress here. And they've said sometimes, you know, what we see as so dreadful and so negative is actually the greater grace or blessing.
Okay, and along those lines, you do mention many times guardian angels in some way. Can you describe that, you know, that you say that they're there? Are they there to help us? And if so, how do they help us coming our dreams and guide us, or how does it work?
Well, the thing is, definitely everybody has a guardian angel, so to speak. It can be a relative, even one you might not have ever known. It could be a parent. It could be a sibling. But the one thing that they do emphasize, even though they may be around you very much like the guardian angel, they say this all the time, they don't wave a magic wand over there and make things go the way we would like. Ultimately, we're always in the driver's seat, and we have to learn it for ourselves.
Okay.
They can't stick their nose into our business, and they can't interfere in our spiritual experience here.
Okay, and so, but what is there then influence here? Is there any influence? Is that our conscience talking to us sometime? Might be influenced by that?
They can certainly, you know, maybe try to steer you away from something that could be troublesome, or, you know, help you to gain something that will be very beneficial to you and your growth here. But again, they help us to help ourselves.
Okay, and
that's the important thing.
Along those lines, for us to help them, you do mention the power of prayer, and got just a minute here, but if you could just give us an idea as to how or why that is helpful to them.
Yeah, well, the thing is, the prayers they state, you know what I mean? You can say Our Father, Hail Marys, or you can make up your own. They state it embraces them with our love, and this way we can still feel we have a connection with them and can do something unique for them.
Okay, so it does reach to them, whether we're saying it to ourselves, whether we're saying it out loud,
yeah,
or whatever
exactly.
It might be. Interesting. And we're here with George Anderson. We're talking about life and death, and we're speaking about a little bit about the book Life Between Heaven and Earth, which you do touch upon these topics. You've done that before in Lessons of the Light, and We're Not Forgotten, Walking in the Garden of Souls. So we have a little break here, and we'll be right back on Everything Old is New Again with George Anderson.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Grandma comes to visit me sometimes. She said you came to the place where they buried her. Asked her a question. She said, the answer is, every day. What did you ask?
Do I make her proud?
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. This is Douglas Viviani with David Cohen, and we are talking with George Anderson and circling around the topics visited in his new book, Life Between Heaven and Earth. Amazon.com is carrying that and selling them like hotcakes, from what I hear, and happy to hear that. That scene, of course, is from Sixth Sense and is quite emotional and memorable to any who have seen that movie. And it brings me to a question about about even a simple kindness that you can do in life to another person, even very brief point in time, may have a big effect on someone and is worthwhile, I would suggest. And even a random passing interaction, you say, can help another person either here or in the hereafter and can have meaning in life. Is that properly said?
Yes, they do. They have emphasized to people, like somebody may come forward and thank them for being good to them prior to their passing. Again, people can look at me as if I have six heads. But the thing is, the souls have stated repeatedly the simple things turn out to be the most profound.
Right.
We may think, you know, giving $10 million to some charity is the name of the game. And yet, no, they seem to like to see more actions, even, again, if it is something very, very simple.
That's great to hear.
And George, this is David. I just have a, being a sort of a novice at all this, I have a question for you. Can you explain, maybe you can, maybe you can't, but how you actually hear the people in the hereafter, how do they communicate with you?
I've been thinking that over a great deal lately because I don't want people to get the wrong impression. Sometimes you can, so to speak, see them out of the corner of your eye. But I think the main focus for me and of the ability is feeling. You can feel maybe what they look like. You can feel what they're saying. You know, because I sometimes during a session will say in my mind, you know, to them, you know, can you kind of get together over there? You know, I think it should be going, you know, the way I think it should, and that's not right. It goes, it works the way it works. But I think in my case, I've been learning it's those other capacities, but all stemming from the sense of feeling more than anything else.
So you're not interpreting or reiterating words that you hear from them generally. You're putting into words the feeling that you're getting from them. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, the feeling that they're sending out, you know, and then I put it into language. You know, sometimes, again, you know, I'm not the most patient guy in the world. Sometimes I'll skip over a piece of what they're saying and go to the next piece they're saying, and they'll, in a sense, kind of complain to me and say, why did you skip over that?
Huh.
You know, now you got to go. You know, you're making more work for yourself. Now you have to go back and start it all over again.
Wow.
And or sometimes, you know, they'll give me what I see is the recycle symbol, and then I'll say, okay, we're gonna have to start, you know, from scratch again. I'm gonna have to go back because I did edit, you know, something out that I think sounds very. Anybody could say that or such, but the point of the matter is, I have to keep telling myself. It's not about me. It's about the individual and their loved one. I'm just the instrument. And I've been reminded of that many times, and that's fine with me. And that's why I'll just say to them, okay, you know, I did skip over this. However, you know, I get very, you know, impatient with them about names. Say I'll hear a name, and I will think that it's correct, and the people, the subject will say, you know, it doesn't make sense or whatever, and then they'll come back to me and state, I didn't say Don, I said John, and they will complain to me, I heard it wrong, you know, so I don't have the patience. If I misunderstand something, I expect them to straighten it out very quickly.
Do you deal with people in real life the same way? In other words, is that just your personality?
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that again?
So you, when you mentioned that sometimes you get impatient, maybe, you know, we're all human, and someone talks and talks, and you have your own interpretation of it, depending upon your mood on the day and your tolerance level. So my question is, do you feel that, you know, your personality when dealing with actually living people sort of carries over when you're communicating with the hereafter?
Yeah, the best thing for me to do is stay out of it. And I've been getting better at it, where I keep my nose out of the session. But again, like hearing from a soul who would be similar to me in thought and personality is actually a great deal of fun and can make the experience very accurate because I can relate to what the person is driving at or saying, you know, having the same upbringing or such.
Well, speaking about that, in some way, friends and family, you discuss in Life Between Heaven and Earth, your latest book, about the fact that a lot of times the family and friends we have here, we have known before we've come here. Is that accurate?
Yes. I would say, again, like everything, there's no absolute proof of anything. But it just does, to me, it just makes more sense that we've been here before, because you certainly could not learn everything in a single lifetime, as far as I'm concerned. I think you would have to experience things with a difference of gender as a male and a female, different race, nationality, you know, religious structure, whatever. You know, in order to become a bona fide rounded soul, you have to experience it all.
Right, and I've heard you say a long time ago, and I might be wrong, but, you know, if, let's just say you're someone that's insensitive to other people, make it up, somebody that has, some kind of a special need, maybe the next time you're here, you would be that person so that you can understand that point of view. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that certainly does. The one thing I know for a fact, that the big no-no over there is cruelty to animals. That doesn't go over well with them over there. But also, they, you know, emphasize again that, you know, we have to learn it for ourselves, that we're always in the driver's seat. It's completely up to us. But being, you know, deliberately unkind or uncaring toward an individual, you know, it's like that circle. What goes around comes around.
Right. And
and I've seen it work.
See that? And in the last minute here on this section, I just wanted to talk about the idea. You talk about a positive mind can be a great tool, but also that a negative mind can affect your soul negatively and then cause you physical or mental issues and can make yourself sick, I would say, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I think sometimes that, you know, the negativity can certainly affect our well-being. But then again, you know, we have to experience both. We have to, you know, experience the yin and the yang.
Yeah, experience the bad, so you can understand and appreciate the good, I guess. And we're here with George Anderson talking about Life Between Heaven and Earth. Certainly you can look that up on Amazon.com, George Anderson. He's got other books as well. We'll be right back on Everything Old is New again to continue this discussion. But hereafter.
This is Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Tell her she's wearing a shirt that I spilt the margarita on and the earrings I gave her for Christmas.
Molly, Sam says to tell you you're wearing the shirt that he spilled the margarita on and the earrings he gave you for Christmas.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. That's from Ghost, a little clip with Molly, which is Demi Moore, finally coming to terms in that movie with the fact that there is life after death, and Patrick Swayze was communicating there. And that leads me to the next topic to talk about with George Anderson, author of Life Between Heaven and Earth. He's written that book with Andrew Barone, and he's done Lessons from the Light and We're Not Forgotten and Walking the Garden of Souls. It's a tremendous experience reading these books and seeing what you've gone through in terms of experiences with other people and how your readings have affected them. But then there must be those that are the doubting Thomases, if you will, that come to you and maybe want to have you prove to them what you're doing is accurate. Does this matter to you in your readings? And I'm sure you've run across that. How do you deal with that?
Well, I think really wouldn't know if someone coming, you know, if they're a doubting Thomas or what they are, the session will still be the session. There still will be somebody there who you reach out to. I think what we have to realize is from the other side's point of view, they told me repeatedly, they're not here to prove anything to anybody. They reach out if we want to accept that unique gift of them reaching out. Wonderful. If we don't, well, they're not really very upset about it because they figure sooner or later we're all going to kick the bucket and we're going to learn it for ourselves anyway.
And so,
this is why they said I certainly don't see anything wrong with skepticism or questioning. The only thing I might have a problem with is like absolute cynicism, where you don't even give it a chance. I mean, there's people out there that certainly would be classified as atheist or agnostic. I certainly have my agnostic days where I question, because I think what it is if we're looking for things only on our terms, that might be where the problem comes in. I mean, you could be hoping, to hear from Uncle Charlie from over there, but maybe another member of your family has more of a need. That I have noticed. The souls who have the need will get the top priority. And they'll be the ones that will, reach out as such. But it doesn't mean, though, you come to me for the experience that you're not going to hear from who you would like to hear from. You know, they keep it moving at their own pace, most definitely. And, I just keep relaying the information accordingly.
And what if someone doesn't? Let's say I come to you for a session because I want to communicate with somebody who's passed away in my family, but there's just no message coming back. Does that happen?
I have to say no, because even if they don't come through instantly as the session opens, they can come in later on. But also, too, sometimes we have to, as the subject, we have to listen very carefully to the wording that's being used. Because, again, they come to us assuming we're going to know what they're talking about. For example, I had a woman for a private session last week, and I kept getting the name Jerry, and she kept saying no, and the soul in the hereafter kept saying yes. But, if something's going wrong, as I said, I expect the soul to straighten it out somehow. And finally, the soul came to me and said, I'm thinking Jerry is a male, and came out to me and said, I'm not a male, I'm a female. And as soon as I said that, the woman said, oh my God, I can't believe it. I didn't think, because the name was it was her grandmother, Geraldine.
Hmm.
And of course, as a male, I'm going to think more from the male point of view. But it wasn't until her grandmother got my attention and said, she's misunderstanding, so are you. It's the female version of Jerry. And then she said her name was Geraldine.
Interesting.
And, the woman was, they'd had a very A-plus relationship. She just was completely taken aback with herself. She didn't remember right away. But she probably was thinking, as I was, who's Jerry, in the male sense.
Interesting. So you stick to your guns, and it appears that that's what works best. You're not going to be swayed by your feelings, at least you hope not to, right, as you're interpreting these messages. You talk about other lives and past lives. Is it linear there? If we were to pass today, for example, and at some point want to come back for another life, would we be able to come back as a Roman centurion, or is that time passed already? Do you have to, come back up as somebody in the future?
No, it would be according to the time as to how it is now. I have had souls from the hereafter mention that they were not very happy here, and they actually even joke. I've heard rumor of something called reincarnation, and they'll say, you can kiss my you-know-what before I ever come back there again. And that can be the case. But again, it would always be advisable, probably, I would think, before you decide to come back, that you evaluate the life you just lived and what you want to achieve up ahead and so forth. You know, sometimes people can, just like here, they can bite off more than they can chew. And, you know, they'll, you know, return and maybe realize they put too much on their plate or such.
Interesting. And George, nearing the end here, I just wanted to get your perspective as to why you write these books, and in particular, what brought you to write A Life in, Between Heaven and Earth, and share that with us.
Basically, to share these unique stories with people that, in their own way, can affect all of us if we read closely. It's, you know, really to bring about to the reader, you know, the highest and the best qualities, compassion, kindness, things that will make all the difference here. You know, it's sad some people are so obsessed or wrapped up in a particular belief system that, you know, they'll flip out if you alter from it. Like, for example, I believe more in the divine feminine as opposed to the divine masculine. And, you know, many times when I say the Our Father, I say Our Mother who art in heaven. And that it just seems to make more sense to me because the fact that the female does bring forth life.
Interesting. Okay. And the books themselves are terrific, and especially this one, Life Between Heaven and Earth, gives you a perspective as the reader into the session. You'll hear a little bit before the session about the individual that's getting the reading and what their background is and what family members have passed away. Then you'll hear through the reading the session itself and what went on. And after that, a message from you as to what was the meaning of the session. So thank you, George Anderson. With us, Everything Old is New Again. Check it out on Amazon.com. And thank you for your time, George.
Thank you very much.